then, I urge that supplications be made for everyone. Remember your teenage years. How about this? As long as you live in this house, you will follow the rules. Now, if these words were part of your growing up, as they were mine, we may regard them as simply when the alpha person of the family laid down the law and we were to obey it. Rules. Rules are an important part of the formation of families, and especially of young people, are they not? Coherent rules with the proper instruction and consistent reinforcement make possible a common life within a family. It produces individuals who know what to do and who put the family ahead of selfish desires or strange behaviors. In the Apostle Paul's day, it was important for there to be order in the house as well as in the community at large. Remember, God provided the law to help the chosen people separate themselves from all of the nations that surrounded them. No one, and I mean no one in Paul's day, would think of order in the community without thinking of the benefits of that order enforced by the weight of the families who live in that faith community. It was necessary for everyone to observe these common rules so that the flavor of the faith community would not be lost. It was important to them then, and it is important for us even today. Now, we know that we owe so much of our church life to our Jewish roots. Today, just as in Paul's time, the church has rules. We have norms. We have ways of behaving that prevent the church from losing its identity. Now, we may have known churches who have moved away from these foundational practices and have gotten themselves into trouble. They do that because they are no longer churches with well-rounded ministries for worship and replication of themselves. They begin to compete with the Elks Club and the Rotary Club for membership. Faith communities, friends, are different. They're different because they have a specific purpose. They are made up of men and women and children who wish to follow Christ. They gather to do three things: worship God, teach the faith, and point others to the saving help of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order to get this done, there has to be order. There has to be rules set in place so that we all agree to abide by them. When you think about it this way, obedience directly affects the mission of the church. If we get to the point where the people of a faith community say to themselves, "I'll do this part of Christianity, but I don't like this part. I'm not going to do that." We will have indeed become lost. This is where we come to Paul's letter to Timothy this morning. Paul is laying down the rules for Timothy as a young Episcopal priest in charge of a congregation in the first century. And what is the first instruction we read about from Paul to young Timothy in this letter? Prayer. Prayer. From what we can gather, it seems that Timothy's church had not been praying in a fashion that impressed Paul. It wasn't casting a wide enough net, and Paul had heard about it. Now, Paul doesn't go into great detail about how he, as a church elder, wants the prayers to go, but he does have a definite idea about who gets prayed for and why. Prayer. Prayer is a huge part of who we are as Christians. Prayer is one of our direct connections to the divine. And so it's important for us as believers to commit to prayer. And so how does one go about prayer? There are many ways. We are lucky as Episcopalians in that we have this book of common prayer. Now, there are many forms of prayer in here, usually in the front 50 or 80 pages or so of this book. Some long, some short. But just look in the index and then follow the simple instructions there. The Book of Common Prayer is wonderful, and we should use it more. Now, St. Mark's has a morning prayer group that, along with the Daughters of the King, have been foundational in keeping the parish together in rough times. Paul writes to Timothy that he wants prayer for a whole lot more people than the church had been lifting up to the Lord. We don't know how Timothy's church went to obey Paul's directives. But this letter does allow us to speak about a simple prayer tool that will allow many of us to comply with Paul's letter. And I've asked Miss Vicki Redden. Come on up.
With you?
Yeah, right there. That's good. Thank you. I've asked her to come up and speak just a little bit about the tools that she uses in her prayer life that are common to Christians. Go right ahead.
All right. One of the most unfavorite things that I do, that I don't like to do, is speak in front of a group of people, whether it's a group of 2 or 2,000. It makes me very nervous. You're going to have to bear with shaking, you know. I know you're surprised with my big fat mouth, but it does bother me. I wanted to show you my prayer list. It's just a simple piece of paper, written in pencil, front and back. One of my lists is praying for people who are ill or in trouble. The other one is praying for spiritual healing. And just as an example, I added recently Stephen Hawking on my list when I heard him say that we should take God out of the equation of creating the universe. And they call him the smartest man in the world. I don't think so. All right. It's awesome when I get to erase someone who has been healed and are in trouble in some way. Then it's time for praising and thanking God. I came up with this list because I was always leaving someone out, and I felt like my prayer was not in very good order. I sort of put my prayers in the bottom of my priority list. And I really feel like God spoke to me by putting this idea in my head of, you know, writing the names down. Now I have it in my forward day by day. So every morning when I say my prayers, God has my undivided attention, and I get to spend some quiet time with Him. Now, if you don't have a list, which many of you probably already do, I really strongly encourage you to have one. And whatever your guide is with your prayers, whether it's the prayer book or your forward day by day or the Bible, whatever it is you choose, if you keep it all together and then it's all neatly tucked in one little place, I think it's very, very important, and there's a lot of, I feel like there is, I lost my place. Never mind. Well, that's it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So keeping a prayer card is one way that believers can keep a fairly extensive group of people in front of the Lord, in front of their face, as they lift them up to the Lord in their daily devotions. Prayer is the most important thing that we do as believers after worshiping the Lord our God. It's critical that every single person in our congregation have a prayer life that supports the work of the parish and lifts up those who need God's help, both inside these walls and outside. with this use of a simple tool, just like a prayer card, very simple, a piece of paper with pen or pencil names on them, we can easily increase the number of people that we hold in prayer. And so this is what I would like for us to do. I would call for each one of us to try this experiment for one full month, for 30 days. Begin to keep a list of people that you wish to pray for. Pray for their needs. Pray for their life in Christ. Pray for people to seek God and to be found by Him. And please, pray for your parish. Will you join me in prayer now? Grant us, O Lord, not to mind earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to cleave to those that shall abide. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.